This morning, we're going to have our message from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Today, we're going to continue our series on faith for the journey. We're also going to finish our look at Hebrews 11, verse 32. It says there, and I'm going to read it, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, he says there, and of the prophets. You know, as far as the men mentioned in this verse, you'll notice that they were all leaders in Israel. Five of them were judges, and one was a king. Last week we talked about the king and his faith, and that was David. At some point, when you look at these men, they all lived by faith. Now, the last one mentioned, Samuel, is definitely not the least. I can tell you that. You read his life in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, he's definitely not the least as far as his act of faith. You know, really, when you examine his life, he may have exercised more faith than the rest combined. You know, with some of these men, we found it was difficult to find their faith. With others, we found the faith, but we also found inconsistency. This morning, I hope to show you that Samuel not only lived a life of faith, but it was an entire life of faith. Now, I don't believe he was perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe he lived a life of faith towards God. You know, this, when you think about our life, as far as our testimony, you know the ideal is to accept Christ at a young age, and we got some young children in our service this morning. You know, the ideal really is to trust in Christ at a young age and to give your life to God at a young age and to serve the Lord. You know, I think sometimes, you know, we hear the interesting testimonies of people who get saved out of sin, and that's good. You know, that's true, that happens. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the ideal. That just shows God's grace towards sinners is what that does. The ideal is to trust in Christ at an early age, go to church, serve the Lord, and allow the Lord to use you. You see, that's what we find with Samuel. We find the ideal here. This was a young man who was raised after the Lord, who I believe loved God, and so he had a life of faith. And that's what we're going to look at, a little bit of his faith. Now, Samuel was also unique in the fact that he was the last judge of Israel. After him would come the kings. We have Saul and David and Solomon, and then it would branch off into many kings. But he was the last one that would sit as judge over Israel. What makes his life unique is that he was required to step down. And not only was he required to step down, but he also had to prepare and to anoint his successor. Now, nobody likes to be replaced. You know, nobody likes to come out of the baseball game or the football game or whatever sport you play. Nobody likes to come out. We all want to be involved, much less help in the process. Nobody likes to train the next person who's going to take their job. But Samuel, not only did he have to be replaced, but he had to prepare not only the nation, but also the king. I think we'll see this morning that Samuel approached that by faith. It was an opportunity where he could have become discouraged, but by faith he trusted in the Lord. This morning, let's have a word of prayer, then we're going to get into this. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word this morning. Help each one of us to be attentive. Lord, I pray that we'll find some teachings in here that we can apply immediately. And Lord, I pray that more than anything else, you work on our hearts. Holy Spirit, I pray that you work on our hearts today and help us to be sensitive to your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just give you two thoughts this morning concerning Samuel. Now, what's difficult about this is because his life is filled with faith. You know, you could preach a whole series on this, but this is just one message. And we have a fellowship dinner, so I know I have to get done quickly. But Samuel, there's so much to go on. But as far as the context of Hebrews 11:32, all five of those men, or all six of them, were leaders in Israel. So I wanted to narrow it down to faith concerning his leadership in some way. And once again, once you narrow it down, there's still a lot of different ways to go. He was a good leader. He trusted God. The Lord blessed him with victory over the Philistines and many other areas. Well, this morning, I want to talk about Samuel's faith that I guess you could say was found in contentment. Found in being content in the way the Lord led him. Several years ago, I saw a picture in the magazine. It was one of those cartoons. And they had a big field. It was a cartoon there, and the grass was green and lush, and the sky was blue. And right in the middle of this large field was a fence that divided it. And on each side of the field was a mule. You had one mule on this side and one mule on this side. And on each side, it was identical. Well, this mule had his head stuck through the fence, stretching out as far as he could, eating the grass on the other side. And this other mule had his head stuck through the fence, eating the grass on the other side. They were identical. Well, on the bottom, it had one word. It just said discontent. And I thought that was good, because that's what discontent is. We're just not happy with where we are or what the Lord has allowed into our life. Even if you look around and there's nothing else going on anywhere better, we're just not content with where God has placed us. Samuel was a man who I believe was content, and that's where we find his faith. The two thoughts I'll give to you. First, he had faith when he was rejected. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're going to look at these passages. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, rejection is difficult. Nobody likes to be rejected. Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Nobody likes to be told that they're not wanted or they can't help out. You know, as far as a pastor in a church, we want all the members to get involved and find places for people to work. Samuel here, I believe, had faith when he was rejected. 1 Samuel chapter 8. It says in verse 4, "Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us," he says, "like all the nations." What we have here is Samuel had been the judge of Israel. The people did not want him to be their leader anymore. They had different plans is what they had. And so they approached Samuel and basically rejected him. They wanted him out. They said they wanted a king. Now notice the reasons. They just offered two reasons. The first one is they said, "You're old." That's not a very good reason for a leader, I don't think. If he's able to lead and if he's able to do his job, then what's the deal? He's old, that's what they said first. Secondly, they said, your sons walk not in your ways. My opinion, that was just looking for a reason to get rid of him. Yes, he probably should have done better with his sons, and later we find that in the scriptures. But at the same time, at this point, his sons were adults, and Samuel was the leader of Israel. And I imagine they could have said, "Address your sons, take care of it, and then continue to lead." What we find is they just wanted Samuel out. They didn't want him as their leader. They didn't want him as the judge. And they wanted to be like the rest of the world. They wanted a king. They wanted to be a nation that could impress others. And that's what they did here. The Bible tells us in verse 6, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us." And it says, "And Samuel prayed unto the Lord." You know, these people wanted to be like the world. You know, it's sad when God's people want to be like the world. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's notice, if you're saved here this morning, you are different. Like it or not, you're different. That's what the Bible tells us. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verses 9 and 10. It says there, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." Yeah, we are peculiar. It says there, "that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This morning, if you are saved, you are different than the world. You are. The Bible tells us you have been changed. You have a new life. And because of that change that took place, you know, according to Titus 3 verse 5, it was the regenerating and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Because of that change in your heart, you have a new desire and a new love for God. You're different. You belong to God. The Bible says you've been chosen. You're a peculiar people. And you've been chosen to live unto God and to serve the Lord. And we find that you're different. Now, the Bible tells us, you know, we go back to Samuel. The people of Israel wanted to be like the world. They wanted to have a king like the world. You know, it's sad when God's people want to imitate the world. This morning, I challenge you, if you're saved here, embrace that. Be thankful that you're saved. Don't go back into the sins of the world. Don't be like the world. Look to live for God and to please the Lord. You know, instead of crying unto the Lord for his guidance and direction, they demanded a new king so they could be like the world. Actually, I guess you could say the people were discontent. They didn't like the way God had set things up, so they wanted him to change it. Let's look at Samuel for a minute. You know, when you're rejected, or when people are rejected, there are a lot of different things, I'm sure, that goes through the mind. A lot of different actions that can be acted out. And notice what Samuel did. It says, "The thing displeased Samuel." I think he was discouraged. You know, when you apply for a job and you don't get it, you can be discouraged. Or you have a job and they say, "You got to go, or we're cutting back." You can be discouraged. I imagine Samuel was discouraged because he was rejected. The people wanted to be like other kings. They didn't like his ability to lead. They didn't want him to rule any longer. Evidently, they forgot how he had walked after God and served the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Samuel, it says there, it says, prayed unto the Lord. You know, it's a simple phrase, but I want to encourage you to hide that in your heart. This morning, you may not be going through any type of rejection at all, but if you ever do in the future, then take it to God and seek Him in prayer. Don't put it off. Don't think you can get through it on your own. Seek the Lord's help. That's what Samuel did. He took this to God, and he went to the Lord in prayer. Now, that was his decision. That was his choice. You know, the Lord allows us to have choices. His choice was to take it to God. You know, 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7 talks about us casting our care on the Lord. You know, that word for casting talks about throwing something on the Lord. You know, I see children all the time throwing things. I don't know if it's just because I have three boys and everything they pick up, I got to say, put down, or I got to duck because it's throwing, it's going somewhere. That's what this word's referring to, casting, throwing something onto a pile. You see, when you have a problem in your life or care or concern, give it to God. Cast it on Him and allow Him to work in your life. Now, this was Samuel's decision. He didn't follow the majority. He didn't want to get rid of the Lord instead, or the Lord's plan. He wanted to remain faithful to God. And next we find that the Lord comforted him. It says in verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." You know what the Lord did for Samuel? He provided some comfort. How many of you ever needed comfort? And you go to God and you receive it. Now, it may not be along these lines, but you're comforted when you read His Word. You're comforted Him when you pray and seek His direction. Samuel found comfort from the Lord. You know, first, the Lord reminded Samuel. He said, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They don't want my plan. They don't want the things that I have set up. Also, he reminded Samuel that they had done it before. And guess what? They're going to do it again. You see, God knew the past and He knew the future. Samuel, I imagine, being discouraged. I've been discouraged before. And when you're discouraged, all you do is think about the moment. You don't think about the past or the future. And that's what happened with Samuel. And the Lord reminded him, guess what? They've done it before. They'll do it again. You just stay faithful. This morning, that's another reason why, when you're discouraged, go to the Lord. Because the Lord knows tomorrow. And when we go to God, we're reminded, hey, there's a big picture here. It's not all about this one moment. God has a plan for your life and God has a purpose. And that's what we find out here with Samuel. You know, I guess another thought for us as believers, when we serve the Lord, we might be rejected because of our stand. You know, there may be someone here that after you were saved, your friends or friends, so-called friends, stopped talking to you because you no longer live the way that they used to. There may be some here that once you were saved, your family rejected you because you had changed. You see, if that's the case, similar to Samuel, they weren't rejecting you for who you were, but they were rejecting you for who you had become, your changed life, basically your Savior and your God. John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus Christ indicates this when He said, "If you were of the world would love His own, but because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You see, that's just part of being a believer. There are going to be times where people will not accept believers just because of what they stand for, because of their Savior, because of their God. Now, if that does happen, find comfort in the Lord, like Samuel did. Trust in the Lord and have faith. Now, you say, well, where's his faith come in? Before we move to our second point, here's where his faith comes in. Samuel did not quit. He very easily could have thrown in the towel that day and said, fine, you can have your king, I'm going home, I'm going to go start my own life, I'm going to retire, or whatever else. He did not quit. He took the problem to God because he had faith that God was in control. He had faith that God had a plan, and that God, I guess you say, could work out that plan, not only the plan for the nation, but also the plan for his life. You see, Samuel would continue to lead. He wouldn't be cast away completely. He would continue to lead, but it would be in a different way. This morning, God may allow that to happen in your life. God may take you somewhere, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your personal life, or even in serving the Lord in church. God may take you somewhere, and it may not be your plans, may not be what you thought was going to happen, but if God is taking you, that's where you need to have faith. And that's where you can find faith and contentment, trusting that God has a plan, and that you're part of that plan, and that God is not going to forsake you, but that God will continue to lead. And that's what Samuel did. He didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He worked where God placed him. I think he was content because he looked to the Lord. And yes, it's that simple. It really is. Sometimes I think we make it so difficult to walk with God. In reality, it is so simple. Once we're saved, we belong to God. We just need to look to Him, trust Him, and allow Him to lead. Here's my second thought this morning. And like I said, there's just two thoughts. The first one was he had faith when he was rejected. And this one ties in a little bit, but it was faith when he was replaced. First he had the rejection, then he had to continue on and actually come to the day when he was replaced, when the king would take the throne and Samuel, officially would be moved aside as far as the leader of Israel. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that you said unto me, have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day." Now, before I move on, I want to say this. That's a testimony right there. That's a testimony. Now, that's a testimony that we should desire to have. Like I said, young people, that's a testimony. To be able to look back at your life and say, I've walked with the Lord my entire life. Now, there may be some here that you can't have that testimony. You didn't trust in Christ until later in your life. And I'll tell you what, look back and say, from that point, I have walked with the Lord. From that point, when I placed my faith in Christ, I have walked with God. That's what he was able to do. He said, I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it, he says, you. Notice the life of faith. He just real briefly, he pretty much not only presents his life before the people, but offers an opportunity for them to bring any odd against him. Now you think about that. Here's a leader for many years. Now this morning, I tell you what, the leaders in America did that, there'd be all kinds of people. And some of them rightly so. They have made a lot of mistakes. But Samuel opened himself up to the nation, said, if I've done anything against you or anything wrong, air it out. Let's hear it. You see, he lived a life of faith. Now when you live a life of faith and you're content with the direction that God has given, the calling that God has placed in your life, the career path, everything else, when you have that contentment and you live by faith, then yes, at some point you will look back and say, look, there's nothing wrong. I have lived for God. I have had faith in the Lord. Now this morning, you think of Samuel. He couldn't change the people. And by the way, we can't change people either. You know, as much as we want someone saved, we can't change them. We can pray for them. We can encourage them. We can challenge them. And when the opportunity presents itself, we can witness to them and show them God's Word. But the change takes place between them and God. And so let's pray. Let's pray for our children that they'll be sensitive to God's Word. And let's teach them so that way they understand the importance of not only of salvation, but serving the Lord afterwards. Now, since they had no king, or since they had a new king, basically it was time for Samuel to step down, time for him to move on and to go. So he displayed obedience. He said, I've given you what you wanted. Secondly, he displayed dedication. He said, I've walked with the Lord from my childhood till now. Basically, they knew who he was. He was a prophet, a priest. He served God as judge. I guess you could say the only change was his age. That's it. You know, that's another testimony to have. You know, I hope and pray. This is my testimony or my desire. I hope and pray if the Lord allows me to stay on earth for another 20 or 30 years, I hope my zeal to serve God hasn't changed with my age. And looking around this morning, I challenge each of you to be the same way. As you grow older, don't allow the zeal to change you. I think we should have the same desire to serve God, whether we're 20 years old, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, or 90. Whatever the age is, there should be a desire to serve God. Now, I understand as you get older, you might not be able to do as much. I'm beginning to find that out. You know, I can't just go out and do as much as I used to do. But you know what? We should do what we can and be willing to do what we are able to do. And allow God to work through us. And that's what Samuel was. He displayed dedication. Like I said, the only change was his age. Finally, he displayed his conduct. He said, if anyone has aught against me, if I've taken anything. In other words, he was an honest leader. Didn't take any bribes, didn't take anything in excess from the people. And from this passage here, nobody said any different. They all accepted his, claim, and they were witnesses that he was a good leader. Finally, we'll skip down to verse 16, because here's where we see the act of faith as he gets ready to move on and the nation gets ready to take on a king. Notice in verse 16, it says here, "Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today?" He says, "I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king." So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Now, when you think of this passage here, I'll just say this. There's probably only a handful of men in the scriptures, in all of history, that had that much faith in God that could ask the Lord. Not only did he have faith, but evidently he walked with God, that could ask the Lord to perform something like this and have it come to pass. That was a man of faith, is what that was. Now that happened, I think, as he grew older, his faith also grew in the Lord. To the point now, as he's a leader and he's walking with God, that God has blessed him greatly. You see, faith grows as we grow. This morning, you know, when you have your trials or you have different, difficulties that come into your life, that's where I believe faith can be strengthened. That's where we put our trust in God and where we become content as the Lord leads us. And then years down the road, a new trial may come into your life that when you were younger, you may say, "You know what, I never could have handled that. That would have just ruined me. But now, guess what? God has strengthened me. I know He'll never fail or forsake me." And next thing you know, you're having faith, and God is blessing your faith. You think of Samuel here. First, he reminded them that they were wrong. They were still wrong. The people weren't right. And then he performed this. I don't want to say performed. Let me take that back. He asked God. He asked God to provide proof of His power to the people, so that the people could understand that they were accountable to the Lord. Now, it was the time of wheat harvest, and from my research on this, it's believed that meant it was May or June. In other words, the weather was calm. It didn't have the big, large thunderstorms like they do in the rainy seasons. And here, in the middle of this nice weather, the Bible says Samuel first announced his intention to call upon the Lord to send a storm. And this was a sign unto the people of their great wickedness, because they had sinned against God. And so Samuel called, and the Lord sent this storm, sent thunder and rain, and says, and the people feared greatly. I tell you, I would. I would fear greatly if all of a sudden that occurred, because this man talked to God. I wonder at this point if any of those people thought, "You know what, maybe we had the right leader all along. This man walks with God, talks with God, and this man is blessed by God." Nothing is said of that nature, but I wonder if some of them may have thought that. You know, it was an act of faith. You know, in the scriptures, in the New Testament, Jesus says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you tell this mountain to move, you know, over here into the sea, and this mountain over here. You know, there are some who will read that passage and say, "Well, that's not literal. You know, it can't happen." Well, you go back to this passage, and perhaps it is. Think about it. What did Samuel do? By faith in God. Now, we're not talking about faith and just moving things just to move them to show off. That's, Samuel didn't do that. And that's something we need to remember. This was asked so that the people would understand God's power, and they would understand their accountability to God. That's why Samuel asked for it. He didn't ask for it so he could show off and say, "Look what can happen." He didn't ask for it so he could pass the offering plate around and collect a large offering. He did it so he could make an impression on the people, that God would make an impression on the people. You know, this morning, when it comes to faith in serving the Lord, that's the type of faith we need to have. It's not faith that, guess what, I'm going to believe that I can get a brand new car and go out and get it. Now, if you need a car, maybe because you're going to say, "God, I need a new car so I can go pick up my neighbors that can't get to church, and that way I can get them to church so they can hear the gospel." Now then, maybe God may answer that prayer, because that would be for His glory and for His work, and that would be faith in God's work. But you see, this morning, that's what Samuel did. It was faith in God's power in serving the Lord. You know, Samuel was replaced, but he had a purpose in life. The Bible tells us, and we find that here at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 12, if you Look here at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. He says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you." You know, Samuel was replaced, but God had a purpose for his life. This morning, if God has moved you from one area to another, and it may not be, I guess, applicable to everyone here this morning. Maybe down the road, you take the notes and file them away. But if God has put you in a different position, understand that God's got a purpose for it. And that's where we find contentment, knowing that God has a purpose for our life. You see, Samuel would pray for the people. He wasn't going to stop praying. And he would continue to teach the people. You know, I think he loved the Lord, and he wanted others to love the Lord as well. You know what we find? It was no longer about his position or power. It was about serving God. You know, I think if we can get past that, and I'm not saying that we have that problem in our church, but as believers in general, if we can get past position and power and possessions and just give our life to God and say, "God, your will, not mine. God, wherever you want me, not where I want to go, but where you want me to go." If we can just get to the point where we submit our life to God, then we will find the contentment. And you know what? God may not take you away from your career. God may not take you away from where you live. God may say, "I just want your heart and I'll bless you where you are." It's just a matter of being willing to follow God and being content with wherever He places us. You know, in closing this morning, Samuel's faith was found in contentment. I really believe that. You know, when you look at these men, they're all different. David, we saw faith and patience. Samson, we saw faith and weakness. I mean, that faith came out when he was finally defeated and he put his faith in God. Jephthah was faith when he was rejected, complete rejection. Samuel's faith is faith through contentment. He was content. You know, for his entire life, he served God. I don't think much changed when he first went into the service of the Lord as a young child until the day that he left. He didn't travel the world. He didn't change careers. He was content with where God placed him. You know, sometimes that's how life is. You know, you may not have a job where you travel. Now, you might, but you may not have a job where you travel. Maybe you just got to get up every morning and go to the same place, and you'll do that for the next 20 or 30 years. But if that's where God wants you, and if that's where God has placed you, then that's where you should be, and that's where you should find contentment. You see, that's what it's about, having faith in the Lord, that the Lord will guide and direct, and that the Lord will provide. And if the Lord does open up a door, or the Lord does move you, that's His choice too, and you'll be willing to follow God. Now, Samuel was content with God's plan for his life. He was. I tell you what, he was content enough to step aside and still assist and still help out. You know, that's difficult to do. It's difficult to step aside and still assist and help out. You know, so what's that? People say everyone wants to be the leader. Nobody wants to follow and help out. It's difficult when you're the leader and you have to step back and help out. Samuel was willing to do that. And obviously, he believed God was in control. Also, he was content with God's purpose for his life. You know, this morning, if nothing else, as believers, be content with God's purpose for your life. Be content with the direction God has taken you. You know, it'd be terrible to get up into heaven and to find out you were exactly where God wanted you the whole time, but you just weren't happy with it. You were just discontent. And so be content with God's direction and pray and thank the Lord that He is leading you and guiding and directing you. You know, Samuel trusted the Lord to direct. That's what it came down to. He trusted. He believed God would direct. That's faith, trusting God, putting his faith in the Lord. And so he continued to serve the Lord. Now, it was not necessarily what he desired. I imagine Samuel wanted to continue as judge until the end of his life. So it wasn't what he desired, but it was what the Lord allowed. And when that occurs, you know what? There's nothing we can do about it anyway. You know, there are a lot of things in our life that will come into our life that we don't choose to have. Nobody chooses to become sick. Nobody chooses to lose their job. Nobody chooses to have one trial or this trial. Those are things that may come into our life that we don't get the choice. But if God allows them, we must trust that He has a plan and a purpose and live by faith. That's what Samuel did. He lived by faith. He was content with God's direction. I hope and pray that you'll be content with the direction God has called you or the direction that God is taking you right now. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for this lesson that we had where we looked at Samuel, Lord. I thank you for his testimony. And I pray this morning as we have this time of invitation, if you've worked in anybody's heart here this morning, I pray that they'll seek you out in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. The piano is going to begin to play, and we're going to have a time of invitation. Now, this morning, this was not, I guess you would necessarily call a salvation message. But I do want to talk a little bit about salvation during this invitation. You know, without God, I don't think there is any contentment. That's why I think so many people in this world today are discouraged and discontent, because there's no peace in their life, because they don't know God as their Savior, because they don't know Jesus Christ. You see, with Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us all things are possible, but without Him, then it is a life of troubles and trials. If you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in Christ, if you're here, if you never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I challenge you to get that settled. If you have any questions, please come down here this morning. We can show you from the Bible what salvation is and how you can be saved, and you can know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe there's someone here that's just been struggling with contentment. You've just been discouraged or unhappy because you believe that something unfair has come into your life. And maybe this morning, after seeing Samuel and his reaction to really being treated unfair, maybe this morning God has worked in your heart and you realize you just need to not only seek God's forgiveness for being discontent, but trust in Him to lead your life. If that's the case, I encourage you to do so. You can pray right where you are, or you can come to these altars and seek the Lord in prayer. Amen. We're going to close with a word of prayer this morning. Thank you for coming out. I hope and pray that